Good morning, Bagger.
Hi, mate. How are you, Ryan?
Yes, I'm well. Well, indeed. And just checking in with yourself before we do talk about the front page of the Herald Sun. How are things going with you? And for listeners who don't know, Gavin made public his own battles with addiction post his football career and has gone on to, well, continue the fight against those addictions, but in doing so is involved very much in the growing world of treatment of addicts and is part of a very strong setup. Tell the listeners exactly what you are doing at the moment, Gav.
Yeah, thanks, Donnie. So, I run an organisation called Sober Living Housing, which basically starts the treatment process for those that have been suffering or are suffering from addiction. And look, it's just a chronic, terrible disease that people can be infested with. So it's a difficult thing to treat. And, you know, we have four houses where we provide an opportunity for people to start their recovery in a safe, supported environment. So it's been going well. Yeah, it's busy, it's hectic. There's plenty of people out there that need help. And as we've seen with Ben, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, encompassed with denial, and that's a key characteristic of addiction, finally. So it's really difficult to break that cycle initially, but if you can break that cycle, you know, there's a chance to be well again. And, you know, look at my own experience, and, you know, I certainly wasn't high-fiving when my wife put me into treatment back in 2011. You know, I was just... the denial I had was just crazy. You know, it was everyone else's problem, and you know, you people are getting in the way of what I needed to do to survive each day. And you know, once I got into treatment, it just all the lights started turning on for me. And you know, for someone like Ben, you just hope that can happen at some stage. I've read a little bit about it today, and I've been in contact with Brian, Ben's dad, not for probably 18 months or 2 years, but it's a really difficult situation when someone keeps fighting against it and doesn't accept the help that's out there. And look, I know for a fact probably that, you know, if I called Gil McLaughlin and said, Gil, can you fund you know, the treatment process for Ben for 6 to 12 months, I'm sure the AFL would do it, but you sort of need someone to sort of step into it and accept that help as well, which is another difficult thing that when you're in active addiction, is just really difficult to do.
Gavin, a lot of people that read the article today will be shocked by the content of the article, but you know only too well from personal experience and experience through sober living and sober housing that you're involved with now, that it's a disease that does not discriminate. And the fact that Ben Cousins was a star footballer and had opportunities that maybe others have been denied in their life doesn't mean that he's immune or anybody's immune from the disease of addiction.
Yeah, look, and the negative consequences, you know, that's a characteristic of addiction. It's continued use despite all these negative things that start happening in our lives, and we just can't stop. And, you know, we have arguments. We've had several conversations on the right time, you know, throughout the last 4 years about, you know, well, it's his choice. He chooses to do it. Why doesn't he just stop? And he's got all the world at his feet and so forth. But, you know, it's a brain disease that's completely taken over his brain and the rational part of his brain. And we don't think logically, and we don't think rationally, we don't think like normal people when we're in active addiction. And that's why it's so hard for people who have never been through this to understand that it's got nothing to do with willpower. It's not just about, you know, someone saying, well, just stop, Gav, you know, you're an assistant coach and you should stop and you've got a wife and three kids. It doesn't happen that way, and it takes a circuit breaker. And look, what we're finding with meth and ice use too, finally, you know, generally speaking, it used to be you used to be able to go and do treatment for 3 months and get a good break from the drug and be detoxed and start learning how to live again without the need of a illicit substance. But we're finding with ice, it's 6 to 12 months, you know, and it's not locked away, but it's certainly in a supported environment where they're accountable to a program, and it's a continued focus on their recovery for that length of time. And to get a young person in, even a, you know, someone at Ben's age, or it doesn't really matter what age, if you get them into the program and say, well, okay, you need to stop your life for basically 6 months and not do anything except recovery focused stuff, it's very difficult for them to think that that's even worth it. So, but there's plenty of stories out there, and if you talk to Mick Hall at Dayhab and obviously with us, you know, there's plenty of stories where if people sit down long enough and get a hold of this and learn about themselves again and learn how to live again, you can live a fruitful, full life, Barney. And, you know, it's, you know, my life has gone a completely different trajectory than it was going early 2011. And I thank God that my wife hung in there long enough for me. And I'm glad that I did the work that I needed to do to get into recovery.
The ravages of addiction laid bare here in this article for Ben Cousins. He's broke, sharing accommodation amongst three or four mates, couch surfing. These are the vestiges of the addiction that he has, and of addiction. And it's hard for people to understand, to comprehend that somebody can be in that situation and not wish to break the cycle. But it is beyond his control without help, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, you know, the couch surfing and being broke, and that's, it's a progressive illness, and it doesn't get better without treatment. And if you continue on the cycle of addiction, it can happen really quickly, or it can happen slowly. And you know, for Ben, it's taken a long time. If that's his situation at the moment, where he is couch surfing and has no money to his name, well, I guess it's another rock bottom's been created. So for me, it was a really slow progression downhill till I hit a rock bottom. But you know, Ben's, we're survivors, Finny. You know, addicts survive somehow, and you know, what he's doing now is surviving. And I just hope at this stage something can happen, something can change for him, where he even just give the AFL a call and say, hey, you know, how can you help me? And as I said, you know, lots of people that are in the same situation as Ben don't have that support. So it is really sad to see that he's got all the teammates and all the support around him, but he just can't take that first step. And the other thing, I guess, with a profile person as well, and I went into treatment thinking, oh, my God, I'm a former AFL player, I'm a colleague of play, how embarrassing, and I was so ashamed and was ridden with guilt and so forth. And that's going to be his first burden in terms of just taking a bite of humble pie and saying, okay, I'm all I am now is an addicted person that needs treatment, and I need the help that you know, some people can offer me, and actually just and do it, because it's going to be, it's difficult for him. And I think that's why I went overseas the first time and did a month or whatever it was, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, to get away. But if you can't get clean here in Australia, if you're going to live in Australia, you need to start your recovery process here. It's no point hiding away in the States for 3 months and then coming back to here, because you're going to be wrapped up in the same environment and the same people. And that's the other thing he needs to do, is he just needs to detach himself from all the hanger-oners that feed his ego and so forth, and probably give him free drugs as well.
We're speaking with Gavin Krasiska. The Herald Sun today on the front page has the article that tells us of Ben Cousins' current situation, and it saddens football fans and those who don't know him greatly. So one can only imagine the pain his family is going through. A quote here from within the article from a close friend describes his family as having been damaged by Cousins' behaviour, and I guess that's one word that opens up the discussion into exactly how much pain is wrought by the addict, not only on to himself, but very much onto those who care about him, his loved ones, and generally that starts with your immediate family.
You're spot on, Finny, and if someone who's addicted has family, a lot may not, but when you do have family, we entangle those around us into a web of deceit and lies and manipulation, and we just, yeah, it's called a family disease, because that's exactly what happens. Whether there's all roles that people play in the family system, you know, unless the family's educated, they will continue to be in those roles. And as soon as family members can stop doing or change their behaviour in terms of whether they're an enabler or whether there's a real hard critic in the family or whatever it may be, as soon as they can change their roles to basically give the addict the problem. So family members get reeled in, it's always the family's problem. So as soon as the family can give the problem back to the addict, it gives them a chance to look at it.
For Ben Cousins, being that high-profile figure, and in WA even more so than nationally, how difficult would it be for him? You speak of having to surrender your ego, because I guess much of what he feels and much of that shame is that he can't go anywhere without people pointing the fingers and saying there's Ben Cousins, and not Ben Cousins the footy champ, but Ben Cousins the ice addict, or Ben Cousins the fallen hero. How hard is it to be able to divest yourself of the feeling that the world's looking at you?
Yeah, look, it's difficult, and it's going to be 100 times more difficult for Ben, considering his profile and so forth. But it's just, as you said, that word surrender is a really key part of someone finding recovery and actually doing their recovery, and also acceptance of the, I guess, the problem that you have. And sometimes it takes people a long time to accept the fact that they're a drug addict, and that they obsess and compulse to use drugs daily, and that they need a certain period of time to actually get through this. But as you said, the ego's huge on most addicts anyway. It can be hidden under a whole range of other personality traits, but generally speaking, we've got high egos and we've got really low self-esteem. So I'm sure Ben's self-worth and self-esteem will be, really, really low. And that's a part of what takes us back to the using, because the using gives us a little bit of a lift compared to where we're at. But it's a difficult thing with someone with a profile as well. But again, I'd use the word humility. It's just about sucking it up and saying, you know what? I want to actually get well. I want to get well for my kids. I want to get well for my family. I want to get well for myself. And that it's possible. I still don't know whether he thinks it's possible for him because of all the outside stuff and outside influences he's got. We can guarantee that if he goes to treatment for a certain period of time, something will change. It may not necessarily change the way he wants it to change, but his life is certainly going to change.
And Gavin, it all sounds pretty desperate for Ben and maybe other people listening who personally or through family members are feeling exactly the same pain and facing the same issues that Ben Cousins is. But but there is a positive story that can be spun out of this. And one thing that people need to realise is that the actual physical dependence on a drug may not be as long-term or impossible to break as people may think. The therapy that goes in and the treatment deals with the illness of addiction, but the physical requirement to stay on the drug can be broken in what I think for most people is a surprisingly workable time.
Yeah, look, the physical part of chemical addiction is generally the basic detox where the chemicals are out of your system is generally 7 to 10 days with most drugs. But the difficulty then is dealing with the emotional and the mental part of the disease, which is what takes us back to using again. And that's the biggest dilemma that we have. And that's what I spoke about before, about learning about yourself, learning about what makes you tick, finding out what your triggers are, how you're triggered, and then basically building up the tools and the toolkit, I guess, to basically be able to deal with those sorts of things. And I've mentioned about, for myself, all the time when we're on the right time, about pokey venues, and gambling wasn't my primary addiction, but I can drive past pokey venues, and if I'm having a bit of a rough day or a bit angry or tired or whatever it may be, I can look into a gaming venue and my memory can go back to a day where I had money in my pocket, I had drugs in my pocket, and fantasize about how good a day that is. You know what I mean? So that's never going to leave me. But I've got the tools now where I can look at it and think, geez, how interesting is that, that my mind can take me back and think that's a good idea again. And that's what you're dealing with once you get that detox part and you get into recovery. You there's triggers everywhere for everyone. And it's about working with that sort of stuff so that we know what to do if we do fall into obsession and we do feel compulsed to use again. It's about having safe, supportive people around you, an environment where you can do recovery stuff and actually feel safe and be able to talk about that sort of stuff. Because the first thing we do is go internal. We don't discuss what's going on for us, and the next thing you know, we're using without even knowing. We have people that relapse in our program every now and again, and they talk about the fact that the obsession hit their mind, and then the next thing they'll do is they're using. They didn't even realise that they were doing it. So again, that's going to sound odd for normal for people who don't, have never had an addiction, but it's a common fact with users.
Gavin, thanks so much for joining me this morning. It's proof positive in Gavin Krasiska that there is a way out, but that way out, as any addict will tell you, the addiction almost proves that you cannot win this battle on your own because...
Yeah, impossible.
Because there's so many addicts in society that have tried to address it on their own. And one feels that Ben Cousins desperately needs the support, not in this case of family and friends, but of professionals and people who are trained and understand exactly what the pitfalls are through that process and can help him through the inevitable tumbles that he would have to take on the way to full recovery. Gavin, thanks for joining the program. Thanks for all the work you do on the station during the year. All the best to you and your family, and we'll speak in the new year.
Same to you, Finey, and we've got a bed ready for him, mate, if he wants to come over.
Maybe not a bad idea getting out of Perth away from those bad influences, albeit seemingly like friends at the moment. Thanks a lot, Gav.
Merry Christmas, mate. Thanks.
Gavin Krasiska there. Still a Collingwood Premiership player. He'll be that forever. 1990.